Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, and welcome to our call, Martial Arts Masters. The AMA Martial Arts Masters is a program which we are trying to empower the tradition of the martial arts by keeping alive all the heritage that we have created from our past experience to follow the great martial artists. In fact, we wrote the Who's Who book just for that purpose, and what we've been able to create is something totally amazing, giving our past masters a sense of empowerment as we move on and become even more motivated in the tradition that we were blessed to have and to experience. And tonight, we have one of those martial arts masters with us tonight. We have Robert Fletcher. Hey, Robert, how are you doing?
Thank you very much, sir. I can't thank you enough, one, for being included in the Who's Who. It's such an honor. Of course, I want to thank Jeff Smith, Joe Corley, and yourself and the other members of the Who's Who. But it's, you know, you're commended to be doing such a great thing for the community of the martial arts. So you're a driving force in that regard.
Well, sir, I'm going to say we because, you know, with Grandmaster Corley and Grandmaster Smith, you know, these guys are pioneers. They have cut down all the trees and made the path for where we are today, along with the other, you know, great masters and pioneers that are living that also have passed away that has now left a legacy for us. And this is what we want to leave for our students is a legacy in the martial arts, a pathway that they will follow and they will tell their students about what we have done, you know, for the martial arts, and that they will have a sense of, you know, urgency, but also a sense of a direction and a sense of pride for what our martial arts masters have done. You know, we're getting ready to launch the first Martial Arts History Month, and that's going to be starting on November the 21st all the way through December the 21st. And our goal is that this is going to be a national mark that other martial artists will pick this up and will join with us to recognize, you know, that opportunity for us to have a month that we recognize and honor martial artists and that our students will be able to see this. But let's talk about you. You know, we're as we look throughout the country for martial artists, you know, with Grandmaster Smith and Grandmaster Corley, you know, they submitted your name. And then as I began to read and study and learn about you, you know, all the amazing things that you've done and all the things that you're doing right now. And we're going to get into that a little bit. But let's talk about your story, because the book was really designed to be about your story, that as someone picked up the book and they began to read the book, they would be very excited to hear about your story because your story may connect with their story of why they got involved in the martial arts. So, you know, Rob, let's talk a little bit about you. I know you're a master in the martial arts. When did you start to study the martial arts?
I started late. I started in my late teens, and I immediately was drawn to it. I started with Kung Fu with Grandmaster Lee, David Lee, in New York, and then I quickly moved over to a form of Kyokushin, derived from American Karate at the time, which evolved to Tiger Shulman's mixed martial arts, and I was actually with him when he had one or two schools, and of course now he has put out some of the great fighters of the UFC. But that was my start, and I was just drawn to it, and I became really obsessed with it, and it changed my life. It changed the direction of my life. I could have went, I guess, in one of two directions at that time. I was a pretty wild kid, and that really gave me the focus and the discipline to focus more on myself and take that energy and really put it into a positive direction. And from that, I was fortunate enough to come very close with the Shulmans and Gary Hellman, who is now in Tampa, Florida. And it was just not 6 days a week. It was 7 days a week, day in and day out of training. I just loved to train. And my big thing back then was I've always had a passion for weightlifting. So it was always cross training. And immediately, you know, a couple of years after I started training, I've always implemented the weight training. And then a lot of my fellow martial artists, they want to train with me. And then, of course, now we know that You know, back then it was voodoo. You know, training prohibits your flexibility. It's going to slow you down. It's going to do this and that, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. An obvious, a great example of that is Billy Blanks. He was definitely on the forefront of combining that cross training factor, and I've trained with him quite a few times in Roxbury, Massachusetts, and he was an incredible athlete himself. So that weightlifting component and the martial arts together, that was always appealed to me most, and that's where I put my energies. I'm just fortunate enough to have met some amazing people, taking me into kickboxing championships, among them Coach Tom Festa and Coach Don Rodriguez. I was fortunate enough to travel to Germany with the WACO USA team and then compete in Arizona for the North American Kickboxing Championships with Coach Festa and Don Rodriguez at the time. And so from there, things just elevated, really. Because of my cross-training practices early on, which at that time was the late 80s, Ben and Joe Weider, who I've met at a Master Showcase of Champions, which was also a combination of a bodybuilding champions and martial arts champions, and I believe Christine Bannon Rodriguez was one of the performers at the time, and I was as well. What appealed to Ben and Joe Weider was a video that was shown at that showcase. It was me cross-training, doing, you know, the heavy bag work, the martial arts, and the weightlifting. And they approached me after the performance, and they put a little article of Muscle and Fitness. Now, at the time, I didn't realize the power of Muscle and Fitness until the actual article went in. But from that little blurb of Muscle and Fitness reaching out to millions of people, there was immediate connection, martial arts and bodybuilding world. And this sort of ignited something, I think, within inside myself, you know, that martial arts had so much value to offer the fitness world and vice versa. And from there, after training with showmans and competing, I actually left my father's construction business in the early 90s, in 1990, I moved to Naples, Florida, to open up a USA Karate and Fitness Center. And then again, the focus, you know, I built it, I structured it because I always encourage people to strength train. So I had my gym and the martial arts side. And that was truly the best time of my life. There's no better satisfaction, and I'm sure you'll agree, as well as all these other masters and instructors, you know, true passionate masters or instructors get their greatest satisfaction from changing people's lives. And as me becoming more mature and growing into this role of instructor and just teaching so many people and realizing the magnitude of how one person can impact that small group at the time, you know, your small school, and you, not that I took it for granted, but I just said, I think this is incredible. If you had this ability that, and you could spread this to a larger audience, what a better place the world would be. So I was sort of trying to speed the process of spreading this incredible energy and passion for what I had for martial arts and fitness, and to motivate others to go into the lifestyle of martial arts, especially as you and I spoke frequently of how, and many instructors know, how it impacts the youth of across America, you know, addressing two huge issues that they face today. Aside from the peer pressure, obesity and bullying, two huge issues in our society, and there's no greater. I'm involved in many sports events, as you know, you know, we'll talk about a little bit, the All Sports Festival, but there is truly no greater activity for kids to be involved with than the martial arts for all that it represents. It instills the values, the discipline, the focus, the concentration. Then you have the fitness component, and aside from that, the learning skills of self-defense, which today, self-defense is right parallel to fitness, because when that child, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but to those that really need a little more reinforcement, that self-defense factor is going to give kids so much more self-confidence and security within themselves. That's going to take the chances of being a primary target for a bully or not taking care of themselves physically and mentally and emotionally. those are great things, and there's no greater gift, I think, that you can give a child in confidence, and that's what martial arts does. So anyway, as my whole role in this thing evolved, one thing led to another. The interesting story, I'll just tell you, I'll try to say it real quick, but as I mentioned, I worked for my father in Union Construction, and I was training every night, six, 7 days a week. Whenever I could train, I would train weightlifting, martial arts, and traveling around. And one of my greatest memories was training with Bill Wallace and Jeff Smith and Joe Lewis at the Superstars camp that was put on by Mark Glazier. And that was a long, long time ago, but that was such a great experience. And that was my first exposure to those guys. And what an incredible group of people. And then from there, I met them many times over. But I was at a point in my life working for my father, and you know, I really knew that there was something else, another path I needed to take. But I was making a good living. I had my father's business, and coming home every day, I just had this sense that there's another place I should be. Anyway, I was competing at the time, and I came home, and between training every day, and then at that time, you know, I broke my ribs, and my hand was broke, and it was pretty messed up. My father of all people, you know, 82nd Airborne, North Carolina, looks at me and he says, "Son, you have to learn to sit back and smell the roses." That's the last thing that I thought my father would be telling me. So he tells me to go to Naples, Florida, and relax for a little while. Well, I went down there, and I really had to do some soul searching. I'm looking out in the Gulf, and that's when the voice was crystal clear. It just really said, follow your passion. And I guess to any listeners or listeners out there that are really questioning their path, that's my advice, is when you have something that's so instilled and manifests within yourself, you know, follow that passion, it will work out. But anyway, I went home, and I went back to work for my father in construction, and I'm welding on this big oil line in Astoria, Queens. And then I just took my stuff off, went into his office, and said, "Dad, I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to smell the roses. I'm going to open up my gym and martial arts school in Naples, Florida."
Wow.
Yeah, of course, he thought I was crazy, which I was, because I left everything. But I know you can relate to it. Martial arts instructors are very special people, because to do it, to be successful at it, you have so much energy and drive and passion that you're on automatic pilot. You just do it because you love to do it. And that's what I was driven by. So, I did that. I went to Naples. I opened it up, and it was very difficult at first. It was extremely hard doing that, you know, financially, mentally, emotionally. It was a test, but it's what I wanted to do. I had a vision of what I wanted to do and how I wanted to present, you know, the world of martial arts and fitness and bring those two together. So in 1992, that's what I did. And then I did a performance or a breaking demonstration at the Taj Mahal, ironically or coincidentally enough, Donald Trump and Vince McMahon were running this fitness expo. And from there, Jim Lorimer, one of the people from the Arnold Sports Festival, saw me do the breaking demonstration, and they invited me to the Arnold Bodybuilding Classic, which was just bodybuilding at the time. And I went there, and I did my thing there, and I looked at the sea of people, and that, again, is that trigger that just said the martial arts needs to be in this world, in this world. I just felt like there was a missing piece on both ends. You know, fitness had – there's more benefit bringing martial arts into fitness and vice versa, and we all know that's true today because of, as a result of all that's happened since then. But from there, just to fast forward – I had great connections. I had great people that I've met through the martial arts. And, you know, from being the sole performer at the Arnold, leading into the first martial arts championships at the Arnold and the first sport at the Arnold, which now evolved into the largest sports and fitness event in the world. 50 sporting events, 200,000 people, and 20,000 competitors. And the Joe Corley, as a matter of fact, Atomics, they came in. And it just elevated every year. And now Toki Hill runs an incredible event there. But So I was extremely fortunate. The martial arts has been really good to me. And then, of course, I have other people in my life. I've been surrounded with Dr. Robert Goldman, Master Alan Goldberg. I mean, yourself, Jeff Smith. It's really endless. And although I don't see them as often, sincerely, it's just a place. And martial arts people are very special people.
When we think about all the things that we have done, let's go back just for a moment, because we've really hit some key things. The first key thing is, number one, is your story. And this is where martial artists have to become aware of what is our power. Our power is our story. Every martial artist has become a master or a grandmaster. There's something that's moved them to that particular place that has empowered them to move forward. Because if you truly are a martial arts master and you're following all the things of your personal growth, it's because you are an elite person and you have accomplished many things. When we talk about, the fitness part, I know for myself of starting, back in, 19... Man, I don't forget how long ago it's been at Duke University. I just finished 28 years and retired after 28 years of teaching martial arts into physical education. And Duke was a very big advocate of the martial arts. And it was 1980. I started in 1988, and right after we had the sports festival in North Carolina, and I was the sports coordinator for Taekwondo for the festival, and after that starting at Duke, and they had a martial arts program that was going, and we started with one class. By the time that I finished the 28 years, I was teaching six classes. I was the judo instructor, the aikido instructor, kickbox instructor, MMA instructor, the bowling instructor. But in the martial arts, it really integrated on so many levels. And I think that this is a key part of schools being able to put in a program that contains martial arts as a regular fitness class. And I think that the martial artists need to be more proactive in building relationships with the schools. Schools will be able to see the caliber that we are of martial artists. And then they'll be able to see the fitness levels that our programs can bring to the schools where you're now integrating martial arts as far as the PE classes, integrating martial arts into the baseball program, introducing martial arts into the basketball program. And it goes on, the football program. In fact, I have a school that I'm coaching martial arts and mental training as a part of their football program. And this weekend, they're going to be playing for their championship, and they've been doing great. They haven't lost a game this year. But this is the thing that we can do as martial arts. Football is very physical. Then these kids are going to the weight room. They're already doing a thing. Just adding one thing of martial arts into your fitness can totally change the game and how it's played, which if you know martial arts and the other team doesn't, then you now have an advantage. Do you say that?
Absolutely, Justin. I mean, with your article, which again, thank you very much for your contribution to our magazine, The Art of Visualization Meditation, you're hitting a nerve. And, all along, the instructors, they utilize, some instructors, I think, they try to hit the schools for the wrong reasons. They go to the schools because they're thinking that they're going to pull out, 50 to 100 students without really putting the impact of what they potentially can have, the impact they can have on those students, whether or not they sign up for the school, but the impact that they can have on the student himself and within the school. So back to what you said, can you imagine if that program actually gain ground, and I know you know this, and I know our friends and our peers know it, the impact that martial arts can have in the school system on so many fronts, the focus, the concentration in regards to sports. It's endless. And that's where I think that you and I completely agree that it's going to take some more exposure, some more marketing and reinforcement as to the power of the martial arts, and then through qualified instructors implementing these types of programs in school systems, in youth groups. And it's endless, because you are giving, whether it's sport or just in the game of life, the edge that you're giving to that individual is an edge, is a serious edge, because that's the missing component, is that visualization and the meditation, you know, which I don't think was really, it's not just not looked at like on a school because of budgets or whatever. But that's where I think, back to what you said, if the instructors become more proactive, I think it benefits us. I did many, many things for free, volunteer, because I just wanted to do it, but it came back to me 100 times over. You know, because yeah. I know if you go out 45 minutes to a school, if you go out 45 minutes to a charity event, and you let people see what you're all about, they're going to know the difference of someone that's really teaching and inspiring from their heart, and that's what's going to draw them to you. And the more people that see that, the more it's going to benefit you and your school and your memberships, but the more that that instructor will impact the lives of so many other people. And today, more than ever, I know that you and I said this in earlier conversation, America needs the martial arts. If there was ever a time America needs an activity, America needs martial arts instructors in every respect. And I think the issue is really, you know, I know that the school does have budgets they have to stick by, but I think, again, back to what you said, if the martial arts instructor puts one day a week aside, where whether it has to be a volunteer, or I think they would find it's going to be a great value and benefit to package a program that they can teach other kids and show them the true value of martial arts and the impact that it can have in their lives in so many respects.
Grandmaster Dennis Brown, back here September at the Who's Who Legends Weekend, you know, we agreed on several different things about the next evolution of the martial arts. You see, we've been having for generations now, at least over the past 30 years, the influence of the Karate Kid and Ninja Turtles. You know, now it's the mixed martial arts, you know, ninjutsu, Krav Maga. We have these other influences, but the next empowering influence is going to be about the internal arts. And this is a reason why, you know, martial artists right now getting certified to be able to teach these classes, because this is where I foresee the American Martial Arts Alliance, where we're trying to work with, and I don't know if you've seen some of the online self-tutorial programs that I have online for bowling. You know, we just finished up the football program, but for them to be able to become certified in mindfulness training. You see, the problem is, when we look at our kids and our youth, is that they have these active minds because there are so many things going on. If they stop for a second, they pick up the cell phone and they start doing it because their mind has to keep moving. So therefore, we're not comprehending all of the information that we have. So the things that we do, the things that we think about, are many times are not clear. If they were clear, we really wouldn't do them. But teaching kids mindfulness, you know, the transcendental meditation, so many programs have proven that if kids now spend time doing meditation before they begin their schoolwork, or instead of putting them into time out for bad behavior, they go to now a mindfulness class and they learn how to control their behavior. And you see, now when we look at all the exercise, they're now, we have the physical fitness, but the thing that we're not addressing is the mental fitness. And if you can now do that, one of my books is called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life Success Guide. And really what it's saying is that you have to change the mind, change the thinking of the person, change the thinking of the people. If you have a team, then the whole team has to unite together with one thought for success. You know, every athlete from the Russians on have used mindfulness or self or hypnosis training, some type of tool to help them mentally move forward. Just like in weightlifting or things like that, bodybuilding. You know, you have that concept of the body that you want to have in weight loss. That's the reason why hypnosis and weight loss is so powerful, because a lot of times people are not able to make those changes because it's the self-image or the discipline that they don't have. Anyone can start, but that doesn't mean that they're gonna continue. But if you study the martial arts and you add mindfulness training in, and then you offer a great fitness, cardio, strength and conditioning training, you know, our competitors in the martial arts are not other schools. Our competitors in the martial arts are other activities, other sports teams. Why not partner with the local football coach that he can now refer his guys and ladies into your program, that now he's your partner and not your competitor?
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree, and I'll tell you something on that. That's where I think martial arts instructors, like you said, they if they're looking at it from a competitive, you're competing in one sense, but you actually should be partnering, because martial arts, and that's another reason why I did it, was to enhance my athleticism in other sports. But when you partner that, just like you said, you take that ability of martial art, the advantages martial arts can offer to other activities. And then if you explain to the coach, and you yourself, you will go up to that football coach, you explain the benefits of how this is going to benefit your athlete. Now, there's going to be a time when those athletes are going to have an off season. Now that off season, they're going to pick up their martial arts training a little bit more. Now when they're in season, maybe they're not coming as more, but they're going to see the benefits and the value in the off season when they're training martial arts, preparing for the season. So, and that's the way that I always believed that it should be as well. It was always something to add value to the activities. However, I just would emphasize martial arts should be the number one activity, because I just think it's going to bring great advantage to whether it's the sport or life. I think that, you know, if you can only train once a week, just make sure you stay once a week. If the kids are doing two or three activities and they can't make it to martial arts classes often, just try to make it that once so you're maintaining. But I agree, you know, that partnership is so important and so much value in it. And that's where schools can really succeed and go to the next level, is understanding alignments and strategic partnerships and how one can help the other. And it's not so much you have to do martial arts. You shouldn't be doing football. You should be doing martial arts. It shouldn't be that way. It should be a partnership where it adds value, especially to our kids.
Yeah, let's like move on now to the other things that you do. And everyone, you know, that's all of our listeners, you know, we're, you know, Professor Gary Lee and I, we've been really working hard to try to keep a very broad perspective. And as he's working with a lot of the historical, the legends in the martial arts, I'm working from the perspective of where we are today and how can we actually move forward in the martial arts. Now, you know, Robert, I know you're connected with the Arnold organization, and I know that you have the fitness challenge and several things that you have going on, you know, because I'm really excited about it. I'm really motivated. I've started to build my classroom up and talking about the transformational challenges and different things that you've got going on. Let's share what is that you're doing. I know you have the ANGT, which is what, the American Next Great Trainer. Tell us about some of the things that you're going on, and how can these things help us in our martial arts and fitness business, and by being able to join forces with you and supporting what you're doing. So give us some feedback on all of that.
Well, just a real quick history. On America's Next Great Trainer, that whole thing was developed to benefit trainers, coaches, and instructors because of the value they bring to society, not only to their clients, to society, and the community. And that includes, of course, martial arts, because that was really the driving force in my life. And I always knew that martial arts was really the activity that can impact lives across the board. So when I wrote the book, America's Next Great Trainer, it basically is my story, but it also includes some of the most elite athletes and experts in the industry of health, fitness, sports, and martial arts and other activities. But the objective is to feature the trainer and to really put the trainers, coaches, and instructors out there utilizing a variety of platforms. So aside from, you know, different things that I'm doing right now, pitching a TV show and doing all these other things, these other things, like you mentioned, the Transformation Challenge, the Arnold Summit and Conference, ASF Arnold TV, the Arnold Sports Festival podcast and the magazine, all of these things I'm looking to utilize to put trainers, coaches, instructors on the forefront, one, to help them with their businesses, to grow their businesses, but really martial arts, when you talk about transformation, and again, this is a conversation you and I had, you know, they have all these TV shows out there with transformation. There's no greater activity where there's more stories of transformation than in the martial arts, starting from the kids all the way up to senior citizens. And how many stories do you think, I mean, tear-jerking, emotional stories, inspiring stories, take a kid, for example. The parents didn't know what to do. They had no discipline and no control. They were on Ritalin or drugs. They were told that they need to be. How many kids are off of the drugs because as a result of the discipline of the commitment to martial arts classes? Now, I don't know that statistic, but I know from personal experience and from friends, fellow instructors, that there's a huge number of kids through the martial arts training, they're not on those drugs anymore. Now, that's not true in all cases. There's definitely, you know, there's certain cases, I guess, that they're, and I that's like a last resort for me. But the point is whether it's a weight problem or a self-control problem with a kid, martial arts has the greatest stories of transformation. And that, the Transformation Challenge at the Arnold, I've put three divisions there. There's the youth, the teens, and the adults. So the purpose there is to take all instructors, regardless of the discipline of fitness, but all instructors, and give the members a goal. Say we're, and this could be within the school. This doesn't have to be at the Arnold Transformation Challenge. But make that Transformation Challenge. This is where you are now, and this is where we want you to be in 8 to 12 weeks, and gradually. So every 8 to 12 weeks, there's improvement. But with the Transformation Challenge, you're going to have a before story and then an after story. And I know in 12 weeks, the impact, now, and it takes work. There's commitment that has to be made on the participant's part, whether it's a kid, an adult, but the impact that instructor can have in regards to transformations is overwhelming. And I've seen them, and I've heard incredible stories, and I can't really say too much about my next mission, but it's going to be heavily involved with martial arts and the empowering martial arts instructors and the lives that you change. So I'm very excited about the Transformation Challenge at the Arnold, and I really believe if the martial arts school owners put it out there to their students to give them a little goal. We have an 8-week goal. We want to hear how you feel now and 8 weeks from now where you're at, where you are now, and then where you are 8 to 12 weeks from now. And they'll be changed. And it's not just physical. It's mental, it's emotional, and spiritual, you know, that will to win in life. You know, the attitude, like I say, and many people say, attitude is everything. Well, it's true, you know, how you perceive yourself. So that was the purpose of the Transformation Challenge. And, of course, I'm very excited about the summit and the conference because that's going to give other experts and instructors the opportunity to present, like in your case, with mind and spirit. That's an awesome topic, and that can be shared at a great weekend. And the benefit there is we'll be having that post-marketing will be through ASF TV and our future podcast. So again, the whole purpose of all these different things is bringing components together as a marketing tool to send out the message and the value. And in this case, it's martial arts. And I really think that these messages have to be heard through many, many different channels. I believe the martial arts took a big hit. I think it was going, everyone was getting it. It wasn't just martial arts. People were understanding this is about discipline. It's about commitment. It's about building the will to win in life. It's about taking care of yourself. It's about healthy eating. It's about fitness. It's learning self-defense. So all of these things. But I think I love MMA. I love the UFC. I watch it all the time. I follow it. I think that because many people don't know, they now see it as they don't look at it like they once did or where we were going. I think we maybe have stepped back, but I believe through the power of media, marketing, and promotion, I believe we'll override that. And I believe it will be martial arts will be out there. My goal or objective or what I would like to see happen, when you talk about fitness, it's like you're talking about the martial arts and vice versa. And that's the way I always did, martial arts, fitness. You know, one is parallel to the other.
Well, through the technology, I know that, I'm working with Master Michael Dietrich. We're putting a lot of videos, training together for the Sport Karate League. And, you know, and that's another, you know, thing that with the AMAA, we have the AMA Sport Karate League. And one of the things that we're putting together is that we have a series of tournaments around the country that we're taking the grand champions in forms from all of these tournaments, and we're bringing them together in Houston, Texas, coming in up in September of 17 and competing. And many of these competitors have never competed against each other. The Sports Karate Museum, they're selecting 8 other competitors that all these people will be competing against to really have the first national martial arts champion selected from all of these different areas. So, you know, their fitness, their skill sets, and I mean, a lot of the athletes now, they are so, I mean, their agility is so awesome. But, you know, you look at their body, the muscle tone of their body, their forearms, you know, that's a whole lot of work. And we're talking about, you know, body structure and based upon what you're doing. But that's what you really have to understand. If you were training a football player, depending on what their position is, you have to help them develop it. So it's not really just about teaching the football player, you know, your martial arts moves, but it's also having a good strength and conditioning program based upon what they do and the way that you develop the different muscle groups for power, for speed, for reaction. So, you know, that's a whole science. And I know, Robert, you know, a lot of the things that you're doing is really educating people on how to do that. And that's what we're trying to do is bring in some great trainers. People can come on to a live training program and actually integrate and work out with our instructors, no matter where you are in the world, to become, number one, a martial arts champion, compete in the AMAA Sport Karate League, but just opening the doorway of opportunity through technology. In fact, one of our upcoming shows, we're going to have John Chung. John is going to be teaching a class on our system, and here people can download it. They can watch him live. They can interact with it and learn how they can become better. So there's no excuse for a person not to become better. And I think in this fitness challenge, that's what we need to do is get educated on how to be able to do it. And, you know, we may look into the future of maybe talking, maybe doing a program of just educating martial artists how to be able to structure a successful fitness program, because that's what I've done from Duke University that 28 years. I'm now bringing it out to the general public in so many different formats that they're going to be able to use it. So that's what we continually moving forward, trying to continually to be able to make things better.
I agree with you, and I think that you're on a completely right path in every respect, and with these different things you're working on, and with the incredible group of people that you have, it's going to be very exciting to see, you know, what the future is, you know, a year from now, 6 months from now, even a year from now, 2 years from now, on because the potential is unlimited. The network and people, especially you are surrounded with, is bar none elite. So now you take that and the minds that are truly not just the knowledge, it's the wisdom and it's the passion that they have towards educating others on the benefits and the value, and that marriage, like you said, you know, bringing the fitness world into the martial arts and the martial arts into the fitness, there's such a huge marriage there. It goes way back, you know, when the kickboxing classes, I started doing, I called it Corobics back in 1991. And, you know, it was just having that turn on the music and everyone starts doing kickboxing. And now before you know it, the gym started catching on and said, wait a minute, this is another workout we can do. And next thing you know, and I think we were all horrified, you know, people that were, that knew how to kickbox, knew how to punch and kick. They're watching these aerobics instructors that weren't doing anything correctly. You know, their mechanics and their technique were horrible. But then that's where the fitness organization started reaching out to martial arts. They said, wait a minute, there's a market here. And in 1992, I reached out to Dr. Jim Bell, who is the president of the International Fitness Professors Association. And I said, the fitness world's got to get a grip. This is not correct. You know, people are going to get hurt. And Dr. Lee said earlier, that's where that marriage comes in. So Jim Bell started to put curriculums together for that. Then the next thing you know, needless to say, I don't have to say anymore, because then you have NASM, ACE. They all reached out to martial arts or kickboxing instructors that were legitimate people to help them design their programs. And so the martial arts has a great value to the fitness world. And the fitness world, I believe, has great value to the martial arts. Now, you know, we're all fitness-oriented, obviously, through our martial arts training, but I believe those two together, there's a lot still one can offer to the other, and there could be great value and benefit where back and forth.
So how can, what is your website?
ANGT.TV.
Okay, is there a number that someone wants to reach out and find out more?
Sure, they can call me directly at 845-406-5069.
And an email?
Rob Fletcher, R-O-B-F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R, at ANGT.TV.
Hey, Rob, you know, really thank you for all the things that you're doing, and I really believe that the universe, I believe in the law of attraction. We know that you and, you know, Grandmaster Corley, you know, Professor Gary Lee, Grandmaster Jeff Smith, and those lists just go on and on for where we are now, you know, as martial artists, our maturity, you know, our spirituality. And this is what's really making us who we are today. And I really do appreciate the opportunity that you have provided us to work with you and get some things out there and start teaching martial arts schools about how to use the power of mindfulness training in their schools and how they can use the power of mindfulness to make changes in people and have this as another doorway into the martial arts school. A lot of people, you know, we're getting older, mom, dad, they may not want to do karate, but they may want to do a group and family mindfulness class and being able to do that at the American Martial Arts Alliance. In our institutional programs, we want to share with people how to do that, how to make it happen, and how to be able to do some of those things. Everyone, remember that we are doing, coming up in November the 21st until December the 21st, we are starting a martial arts history month. I really encourage all the martial arts instructors to share with their students some of the great martial artists are, maybe that influenced your life. Because if you're a martial artist, and you're a black belt, and you're a teacher, then someone has inspired you, if not directly, but maybe in an indirect way. Share with that story. Share with your students, you know, your own personal trials and tribulations, because some of them may be going through the same thing. You know, we want to influence people to become martial artists. You know, not just the one or two, but we want to influence the world about the power of martial arts and how it has the power of change. And we want you to be a part of that. You know, we really want you, if you say, well, I don't know a lot of martial artists, the magazines are not really telling their story, hey, get your copy of the Who's Who in the martial arts. We have over 250 masters, grandmasters, legends in the martial arts. Educate yourself on who some of these people are, what are some of the things that they've accomplished, and remember, always having a mentor. And I have mentors that I actually know, and then I have mentors that I don't know. I have spiritual mentors that I listen to all the time. I've never met them, but I do like what they're saying and how it empowers me as an individual. So we really want you to reach out and be a part of this Martial Arts History Month. And if you have any questions, of course, you can always reach me at info@the-amaa.com. Also, you can give me a call at area code 919-489-6100. And there are a couple of websites you can, you know, find out more about what we're doing. You can go to www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com. And you can also go to www.AmericanMartialArtsAlliance.com to keep up with what we're doing. We're also taking nominations for our 2017 Who's Who in the Martial Arts. So please, if you're alumni, make your nominations. If you're not an alumni, make your nominations. And remember, you can just submit your bio. We're not just looking at people that, you know, they won, you know, a whole lot of tournaments. We're looking for people that have a story, the martial artists that have a story that we can share with the world to change someone's life and to motivate them to become a part of our unique martial arts group. Hey, Rob, thank you for being on the call again. And remember, you always have a friend here in North Carolina. If I can do anything for you, just pick up the telephone and give me a buzz.
And the same here in Columbus, Ohio, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing you and collaborating further and making, changing more lives. It's, you're a great, great influence to the world of martial arts and fitness, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you.